Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Sacrament Meeting in this, the Heather Ridge 6th Ward. We're very happy to have you with us. As I look out over the congregation, I can see lots of visitors, some I recognize and others I don't. It's always fun to have people come back, especially over holidays, to spend time with family, and good to become reacquainted, and we particularly welcome those who are visiting and hope you enjoy your time with us today. I'm Bishop Mizbach, and we'll be conducting today's services. We appreciate all who are participating and acknowledge Brother Young at the organ and Sister Roberts, our chorister. By way of announcement, there are a few announcements in the program. I'll mention a couple. It's not a typo. There's an announcement for Steak Trek. It is June 17th through 20th, the year 2020. So in today's age of electronic calendars, you can put that on your calendar now, and it will still be there 4 years from now. But we wanted to make you aware of that, that it is planned, and 4 years from now, some of you are even in primary may be participating in that trek. Let me also mention, it's not in the program, we have choir practice next Sunday at 10 o'clock at the Clifford's home, and you are all warmly invited to attend and sing in the choir, especially as they prepare for an upcoming number. With no further announcements, we will prepare now for the invocation by singing hymn number 338, America the Beautiful, following which the invocation will be offered by Brother Bill Colorado.
Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're very grateful to be here on this beautiful Sabbath day. As we celebrate Independence Day this weekend, we ask thy blessings upon this nation, that it might continue to be a great nation above all, and we ask that you bless the majority as they want to keep you in public businesses and schools, and for those who are a minority and want you out of there. Please bless them, open their minds and soften their hearts, that they may understand that to be great, we need to be under thee. Bless those who are going to impart messages today, and we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We've received membership records for a number of individuals and want them to be recognized today, and we ask them to stand as their name is called. Jordan and Madeline Nickel, Emily Knoxon, Tage and Kaylee Wilcock. All those who can welcome these members in full fellowship, please indicate by the uplifted hand. Thank you very much. It's my privilege to begin today by sharing a few thoughts with you as we begin our fast and testimony meeting. This morning, I awoke about an hour before my alarm went off, and so I had an hour to just do nothing but to ponder and reflect on life and the day before me, and knowing that I would be sharing a few words with you, a lot of things went through my mind. One of the things that I thought of repeatedly, I'm sure based on the being the 3rd of July and the patriotic events that are surrounding the day, and the sound of a war zone going to bed last night too, that I'm sure some of you probably had a similar experience. But the date of December 7th, 1941, for somehow just repeated over and over in my mind. And I thought of that day. Now that day occurred nearly 25 years before I was born. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, I wonder how many in our ward remember that day. So I pulled out the ward list and sorted it by birthday and concluded that probably less than 5% of members of our ward remember that day. And it won't be long before the current memory of that day is no longer with us. And it will be left for those like myself to just remember it through history and retelling of events. But I thought about that and what that meant to us as a nation, to be attacked, to come under attack, and the ensuing events that occurred. Of course, World War II and all of the tragedies that went with it were ushered in, at least to the United States on that day. But something else happened. It provided a united pulling together of this nation, which ushered in what many would call the greatest generation. And that greatest generation is the generation that raised many of us. And it brought to my mind that concept of coming under attack, facing adversity, and what happens when people either collectively or individually face adversity and challenge. And then I was reminded of the words of Elder D. Todd Christofferson, who spoke last Sunday in Provo at BYU and talked about our nation being under attack. And he used those words, and he articulated very clearly that we are under attack. And then he gave some advice for what we should do now that we are under attack. And as I was reading his words that I think in large measure went unnoticed, not a lot of people, I think, paid attention to what he had to say. And I was reminded of an experience that we had this week with our family at a family reunion. I'm going to tell a story about one of my kids. It's not here today. That child is not. So I'll try to be somewhat anonymous. You'll have to guess if you want to try which one it was. But in leading up to this family reunion, there were a lot of plans and preparations. My wife takes care of a lot of that. And she told our children what to prepare for, the events of the family reunion. And if you want to participate, there are some things you have to do in advance if you want to participate in these events. And we got to the family reunion, and when one of the activities came up, one of the kids said, "Why didn't you tell me we were going to do this? I would have been prepared." And so my wife's response to that was a very calm, but did you read the emails that I sent you? Oh, yeah, that's right. I saw them, but I didn't really pay attention to them. Did you see the schedule that I emailed to you? Did you see the schedule that I printed and posted for you to look at? And then that child was like, kind of, oh, well, but you didn't remind me enough. You didn't tell me enough. I didn't, you know. And I thought it was just really interesting. Kind of frustrating in one sense, and in another sense, kind of humorous that a child could be told so many times. And then as the moment arrives, what? As if this had never heard anything about this. And as I was reading Elder Christofferson's talk, that same principle seemed to occur to me, that as these events, as these cherished freedoms are slipping away from us, that as we arrive at that fateful day and say, what happened? Why didn't anybody tell us? Why didn't anybody warn us that we were losing our religious freedom? We have been told, a prophet has told us, we are under attack. So those thoughts that I had today led me to another thought, and that is what to do, what to do. And when World War II came, we all kind of, I say it as if I was there, I wasn't around, but we all kind of collectively knew what to do. We knew how to pull together. We knew what was, we knew the attack, who the attack was from, and what we needed to do to meet the challenge. And in similar fashion, I wonder today if we know where the attack is coming from and what we need to do to meet the challenge. But one thing that Elder Christofferson said that I thought that I can do to help to defend ourselves from this attack, and that is that I can take care of my own home. And my own family. And then it occurred to me that I have a duty that goes beyond that. I have a duty beyond my own home as your bishop, that my duty extends to you, that I have a duty to help you prepare, to help you defend yourselves against an impending attack. So I thought I might share with you one little experience that I've had over the past few weeks that is my hope and prayer will help you to prepare. Some time ago, a year or so ago, I was at a meeting for visiting teachers with our Ward Relief Society. And in preparation for this meeting, I read about the duties of a visiting teacher. And I read that visiting teachers pray daily for those to whom they are assigned to teach. And at the time, I consider it a revelatory experience for me, because it occurred to me that through all my years as being a home teacher, that it had never occurred to me to pray daily for those to whom I was assigned to home teach. And I took it as a revelation, not only for myself, but for the good home teachers of our ward. And I asked our home teachers then to please begin to pray daily for the families that they were assigned to teach. And I believe that great blessings have come from that, as I know that many faithful home teachers have accepted that encouragement from me. In similar fashion, a number of weeks ago, I had another experience. And I think, as often does in revelatory experiences, you see or hear something that you've seen or heard before, maybe many times, but somehow it just strikes you in a new way, and you are hit with the idea that this is of significant importance. I read about a bishop who felt impressed to ask the home teachers of his ward to ask the families who they home teach what they could pray for as home teachers for their families that they were assigned to. It came as another revelation to me. It came to me that that was the other half of the revelation that I had received a year or so ago. And so last week, I brought that to our home teachers in our ward and priesthood meeting, and I asked them, I said, would you please go to your families and ask them what it is that you can be praying for your families? And I believe that great blessings will flow from this. And that maybe even miracles will occur. And that maybe, in some small measure, our homes and our ward will be strengthened from the attacks which are occurring. And so, as I lay in bed this morning, it occurred to me that maybe I might share with you as a congregation that revelation and counsel from your bishop. It may sound small and insignificant, but I believe that it may be more than that. And so I extend to you with that charge, my appreciation. I am so grateful for you, grateful for your sustaining prayers, not only for me, but for one another. I told the priesthood last week, I'm selfishly grateful because I can't pray for each of you individually by name every day. There's about 366 of you, and I just simply can't. But I am so grateful to know that you're praying for each other, that you have a visiting teacher and a home teacher who are praying for you. So I thank you for indulging me in listening to this and appreciate your efforts in that regard. I am so grateful for this gospel, for the principles of it, such as prayer, that bring to us great blessings, even miracles, which I know to be true. I am so grateful for the gospel of Jesus Christ, grateful for him, for his atonement. I am so grateful for a living prophet and for former prophets, such as Joseph Smith, who faithfully received revelation, which I benefit from today. I know this to be true, and leave this testimony with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the time is yours, what little I left you. So I apologize for that and encourage you to come forward and share your name as you share your testimony with us. Our meeting is recorded for those who aren't here, and so when you say your name, it'll help those people to know who is speaking. The time is yours until about 5 minutes after the hour. Thank you.
I'm Dixie Olson Clifford, and Bishop, I'm one of those 5 percenters. I remember that Sunday morning. I was 5 years old when the radio reported that the fleet that was at Pearl Harbor in the Hawaiian Islands had been struck. The war had been building in Europe from the time I was born in 1936. the Nazi regime was taking over, and it was almost inevitable that would happen. I remember the ration stamps. I remember the little airmail letters written on paper so thin you could see through it. I remember the censor marks that were put by the censors on the letters our soldiers wrote home so that they couldn't give away any information that somebody with bad intent could use. I was living in a rural community, so we didn't have to worry about all the rationing of meat and things like that, but people in the city really suffered because of that. Sugar was rationed, tires were rationed, cars were rationed, everything. Everything but the spirit of unity that we had in our country at that time. And man, could we learn something from that today with the division we have in our country. Every letter that leaves my house under my signature has written prominently on the front of it, God bless America. I've been doing that for 5 or 6 years. Every Christmas card, every bill I pay, I want the post office department to know that somebody has a belief that things can change and get better. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say all this. Father's Day was last month and caused me to recollect on my beautiful father. He was orphaned by the time he was 15 years old, and being the oldest child in the family, had to stop his education. So he was not an educated man, except he was a lifelong learner. He never stopped learning. He used to come to our house in California and go through the encyclopedias while we ate breakfast and tell us the good things that were there. In a couple of fast Sundays, since the first of the year, I have been so impressed because I'm also a lifelong learner, and I learn from you by what Jerry Perkins talked about, ponderizing the scriptures. Not just reading through them. We all go through different phases in trying to do our scripture study. 6 pages a day, or 1 chapter a day, or what have you. But he talked about choosing a subject, putting a note on your bathroom mirror, on your refrigerator, in your journal, and pondering for a week, a couple of weeks, or a month on that very scripture. And I've been doing that. And then shortly after that, Tara Wagley spoke one day about not being distracted and being fuzzy-minded, but knowing what yes knows and what no, or what yes means and what no means. Yes, we want to study the scriptures. Yes, we want to develop our testimonies. How do we do that? Well, we could start in Nephi chapter 1 with Moroni's statement about being born of goodly parents. We could contemplate the gifts we have and the knowledge we've learned from them. We could go on and a couple of chapters later talk about going and doing what the Lord commands. And if we put that in front of ourselves and pondered that, because he'll open a way if we do those things. Same thing with opposition. We need help with opposition. Yes, we do. Opposition in all things and so on. What about the title of liberty, of love of God, family, and country? If we contemplate that and count our blessings, how much wiser we can become. All of these things. In the Doctrine and Covenants, chapter 4, we read about being missionaries. What qualifies us to be missionaries? Do we want to be missionaries? Yes, of course we do. If we put that chapter 4 in front of our eyes for a few weeks, we will improve our endeavors. And chapter, section 121, where Joseph Smith, at the edge of despair, pleads with the Lord to understand what the answer comes, that he will be able to overcome the difficulties he's having. We have so many blessings, brothers and sisters. Let us not forget. Let us remember to pray earnestly about our concerns, not only for ourselves, but for others and for this beautiful country. And Heavenly Father will help us find a way. I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
My name is Richard Brunst. I appreciate this opportunity to stand here and bear testimony today that the gospel is true, that our Heavenly Father loves us, and that our Savior sacrificed for us that we might come back to them again and have eternal life. As I think about this particular weekend, and I realize what great blessings that we have living in this free land, and that the Lord has blessed this land so long as we will treat it properly and live righteously. I thought back upon my own father who volunteered for World War II to go out on a Navy ship, and he was out there for 5 years and came back. I thought about his brother who also volunteered in the Army who did not come back, who was shot rescuing some citizens of America that were captured in the Philippines. And I look at the sacrifice that these men have given that we might be free this day. So I'm very thankful for the blessings of the freedoms and the beauty of this country and the life that we enjoy here, and the fact that the gospel flourishes here. I thought about this past week as I've read my scriptures each day, how the scriptures will give us guidance and strength and give us peace. I know that many of us, or probably most of us, face challenges in our lives and have issues that we're working on. And yet, in reading the scriptures help us to feel calm, help us to know the direction we should go, and give us guidance in what we should do. I've thought about prayer as well, that prayer gives us answers and gives us revelation, as the bishop has mentioned, and that if, in fact, we will pray, even though our lives are not perfect, the Lord will, in fact, give us personal revelation each and every day. I'm thankful for the gospel. I'm thankful for my family. Thankful for the opportunity to have my granddaughter here this day, and my son and daughter-in-law, and my other son and my wife. And I love my family very much. And hopefully not to embarrass anyone, but I remember not long ago my son and daughter-in-law were in our house, and my daughter-in-law requested a blessing, and my son and I gave her a blessing. And at the time, we didn't know she was pregnant. And it was interesting that after that blessing, and as I stood there and looked at my son and daughter-in-law as they kissed after the blessing, I felt a huge amount of love like I've never seen before, just a cloud of love enveloping them. And I tried to understand. I thought, well, they must really love each other. This is just a huge cloud of love. And I don't know how to describe it, but that's what it felt like. And then we realized a week later that, in fact, she was pregnant with the granddaughter that they have with them. And I think that our Heavenly Father loves us and sends spirits to us and helps our families grow and, in fact, is here for us, and that we are here to love one another. And I would just like to bear testimony that our Father loves us, our Savior loves us, and we should love one another. And say this humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hi, my name is Carrie Rodriguez. I am one of Tara Wagley's sisters. I live in Oklahoma, and I'm glad that I could be here today for the blessing of their daughter. And actually, all of my siblings are here today, which rarely happens. Luckily, maybe once a year, maybe every other year. So I was always the black sheep of the siblings. And I just received my temple endowments a little over a month ago. And I was able to come here to Utah to be able to do that with some of my family members. And I'm working up here this summer at a Boy Scout camp. A dear friend of mine from our small little branch in Oklahoma moved up here. She was the Relief Society president, and she moved to Roy, Utah, the very beginning of May. And she's worked at Boy Scout camps every summer, and she's asked me to come up here and work with her So this year I decided to. And yesterday, as a young child, I've always wanted to go to the Manti Temple. I just loved that temple. And yesterday when we left Scout Camp together, we went to the Manti Temple together. And she had asked me maybe a month ago the story about how my parents were converted to the church. And I had told her that my mom and dad lived in Las Cruces, New Mexico. My dad was going to school. His professor was a Mormon. She was a Methodist. He was a Baptist. They wanted to raise their kids in church, but they wouldn't join each other's church. And this professor was LDS, and my dad asked him, how, you know, what do you believe in? Well, they ended up joining the church, and I couldn't remember his name, but I told my friend that he was the first president of the Oklahoma City Temple, which opened, I don't know how many years ago, but not too long ago. And I couldn't remember his name. Well, yesterday, while we were at the temple, I asked a gentleman if we could look at the baptismal font, because the temple was just so beautiful inside. And he asked where we were from, and we said Oklahoma, and he said, oh, I've been to the temple in Oklahoma. President Gillespie was there, and he held the session until we got there because we were running late. And that name, I looked at my friend and I said, that's him. That's who was the man that got my mom and dad to see the missionaries. And he said, oh, well, he works here. He's here right now. And so they said, if you want to wait for him, or you can write a note and we'll give it to him, and you can wait here and maybe you can see him. So I had told them that, you know, I would really like to talk to him. And so he came down. I sent him a note and told him that I was given Bernadine Sullivan's daughter and I was downstairs waiting for him. And he came down about 15 minutes later, and he walked up to me, and he knew who I was because he had come to our small little branch when he was a president of the temple and gave a talk one day, and Mom introduced me to him, and he remembered me. And I told him that I just wanted to thank him for being there for my mom and dad to convert them to the church, because I wouldn't be where I was today if it hadn't have been for him. So he told me that they were in Las Cruces for a short period, and the only reason why they were in Las Cruces was to baptize my mom and dad. And he told me the story of how they met and everything, and I knew partially from my mom and dad the story, but when I heard his side of the story, it was so beautiful. And it was just, God puts people in the places that they need to be. And I just had to share that with you. It was a wonderful experience. And I do know this church is true. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Good afternoon. My name is Janely Charrington, and after Bishop gave his testimony about prayer, I just wanted to get up here really quickly and add mine to it. I was fortunate enough to grow up with having my grandma and grandpa live really close, and we spent almost every Sunday dinner at their house, and they were in high school when during World War II, and my grandpa's mother actually had 5 stars hanging in her window during the war. And they were told that if they found a quiet place to pray every day, that all 5 would come home. And my grandpa was the youngest of them that went out, and he was working in the boiler room on a big ship. And if you know, the boiler room is super hot at the very base of the ship. And he would find a time every day to find a place to pray. One day, his ship actually split in half, and he thought that that the people had on the ship had said some cruel things, and he just thought that there's no way that we are going to be saved through this. But he ran to his room to grab his Book of Mormon and the picture of my grandma, and his bunkmate said, "Sydney, teach me how to pray." And he was really surprised. He said, how do you know that I know how to pray? He said, "I've watched you every night. You know how to pray, and I need to know how right now." So he taught this man and made it home and lived for a good long life. And I grew up hearing the testimony of prayer through him and through my grandma, and all 5 of those boys returned home. And it's just been a blessing to me to have that testimony been shared of that prayer, though it's a small thing and it doesn't need to take a ton of time every day, but that it can provide miracles and blessings if we will do it often, and that if we will do it with a full purpose in our heart. And I just wanted to share that with you, and I'm grateful for the power of family and the power of prayer and all that it's done for me in my life. And I'm grateful for this church and all that it's taught me. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My name is Austin Beckstead, and I'd like to bear my testimony that I know that this church is true. And I know that Thomas S. Monson is a true prophet, and that Joseph Smith restored this church for us. And I have a testimony that families are forever, and they can help us return to live with Heavenly Father and with them forever. And I'd like to bear my testimony of the atonement, and that we can be forgiven of our sins, and that can give us peace. And I know that we can speak to our Heavenly Father through prayer, and that He answers our prayers, and that we can be blessed. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My name is Arthur Boyajian, and I feel impressed to come up here and tell you about what the 4th of July is. Mean to me. I remember during the war, I must have been about 15 years old, and the American came and make us free, you know, and I saw those GIs, and I could see on their face the goodness on their face. And I said to myself, when I grow up, I go to America. Because I want that, what they have, I want that for me. So I came to America in the front door. I applied for it. I got my green card, and we immigrate here in America. But during the war, it was tough times, you know. But luckily, my father was in a wine business, like a good Frenchman, you know. And The baker was across the street from us, and so we give him wine and give us bread. The butcher was in a corner. We give him wine, he give us meat. The grocery store, the same thing. We give him wine, we got vegetable, we got everything. So we didn't starve. And the hometown I was living is about 4,500 people. But to make the story short, the 4th of July, what a great day. We are lucky, lucky in this country to have the freedom that we do have it. Let me read you something about what the prophet said about this country. This is written by a prophet about a prophet. When a modern American prophet came upon the scene to open a new gospel dispensation, he shed further light upon the establishment of this great nation and the coming forth of the Constitution, which he stated was a glorious standard founded in the wisdom of God. Through revelation, the Lord said to him, "Therefore, it is not right that any man should be in bondage one to another. And for this purpose, I have established the constitution of this land by the hands of wise men whom I raised up unto this very purpose and redeemed the land by the shedding of blood. Regarding of duty as citizen, the Lord declared, I, the Lord, make you free. Therefore, you are free indeed, and the law also maketh you free. Nevertheless, when the wicked rule, the people mourn. Wherefore, honest men and wise men should be sought for diligently, and good men and wise men ye should observe to uphold. Otherwise, whatsoever less than this cometh of evil. According to the law and constitution of the people, which I have suffered to be established for the right and protection of all flesh, according to just and holy principle, the Constitution of the United States is a glorious standard. It is founded in the wisdom of God. It is a heavenly banner." This is great. This is why we have the 4th of July. And you know something? I'm going to tell you something. If I had to fight for and uphold the law, the Constitution of the United States, even when I'm an old man, I will do it with all my heart. I will give my life for this country. And then he continues, said, "In the light of this prophecy, there should be no doubt in the mind of any of us that the human family is headed for trouble. There are rugged days ahead." This is the word of a prophet of God. "This is a time for every man who wishes to do his duty to get himself prepared physically, spiritually, patriotically and psychologically for the task which may come as any time as suddenly as a whirlwind. Where we do stand today, all over the world, the light of freedom is being diminished. Today, the devil as a wolf in a supposedly new suit of sheep's clothing is enticing some men to parrot his line by advocating planned government guaranteed security program at the expense of our liberty. We should recall how we vote in heaven, and if some have decided to change their vote, they should repent, throw their support on the side of freedom, and cease promoting its subversion. Ezra Taft Benson wrote those lines, a prophet of God, and I know he was a prophet of God, and I know that the church was reestablished in this latter day, that Joseph Smith saw the Father and the Son. When he saw the Father, what a glorious day it was for all the human race. One last thing, if I may. Ezra Taft Benson said, "What kind of America do I want? I want an America that will meet the challenge of the present day, not with softness and complacency, but with the depth of faith, wisdom, and daring that characterize our forefathers." And then he said, "I want an America that will rally to meet this grave challenge of a godless, atheistic, cruelly materialistic system. I want an America whose citizens will demand that our government stand firm at all costs against any further expansion into the free world or alien philosophy that seeks to destroy freedom and free men everywhere. I want an America that will stand guard not only in defense of the free world, but against these forces which will destroy freedom from within." Ezra Taft Benson, not my word, his word. "I want an America in which the principle of freedom and the institution based thereon are understood." Goes on and on and on. I can go on and on and on. But I'm going to cut short. And at the end he said, "I intend to keep fighting. My personal attitude is one of resolution, not resignation. I have faith in the American people. I pray that we will never do anything that will jeopardize in any manner our priceless heritage. If we live and work so as to enjoy the approbation of a divine providence, we cannot fail. Without that help, we cannot long endure. So I urge every American, I urge all Americans to put their courage to the test. Be firm on your conviction that our cause is just. Reaffirm our faith in all things, for we, true Americans, have always stood." I know that those words are the word of the prophet, and I'm thankful and grateful for my life here upon this earth and the time where the gospel was restored in this latter day. I know that Joseph Smith was a prophet of God, and President Munson is a prophet of God, and I'm thankful for this knowledge that I have with certainty. But, you know, sometimes you might say, well, he's a convert of the church, and convert, they have a stronger testimony of the gospel. Not true. Each one of you here in this room, you have a testimony of the gospel, and you know this is true. You know in your heart, you know it. And I'm grateful and thankful, and I want you to know that I do love you truly from the bottom of my heart. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We're grateful to all who have participated today. We will close this meeting now by singing hymn number 339, "My Country, 'Tis of Thee," following which the benediction will be offered by Sister Heidi Beckstead.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we could be here in this sacrament meeting today and to have the freedom to worship Thee. Help us to appreciate and defend that freedom. We're grateful for the testimonies that have been born. We're grateful for the spirit that we've felt, and ask Thee to please help us to have that spirit throughout this Sabbath day, and that we can keep this Sabbath day holy and think of Thee and serve those around us. We're grateful for our prophet and ask a blessing upon him. Please bless our stake presidency and our bishopric and our ward council. We're grateful for them and ask Thee to inspire and strengthen them. Bless those who will be teaching our lessons, that they will be given the strength and inspiration that they need, and help us to be supportive of them. And we ask a blessing upon those in our ward and neighborhoods who are in need of special blessings, and help us to be able to be sensitive to those needs and to help them. And we say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.